You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to On the Bench Instant Reaction as the Noles fall on a walk-off Hail Mary by Jacksonville State. Florida State lost 20-17 on Saturday inside Doak Campbell Stadium. It marked FSU's first ever loss to an FCS program. I'm not sure if this is part of the climb or not, but the Seminoles lost on a 59-yard touchdown pass from JSU quarterback Zarek Cooper as time expired. FSU managed just 3 points in the second half, a 53-yard field goal by kicker Ryan Fitzgerald. JSU scored 2 touchdowns in the final 5 minutes to pull off the upset. I have Chris Knee and Brendan Sinone here with me. Chris, Brendan. Well, Chris, let's start it with you. What can you say about tonight's loss?
I'm literally walking around the stadium, heading back to my car after that. 59-yard walk-off, inexcusable play, but it was a game filled with that. You got 11 penalties on FSU in this game. They self-destructed on themselves constantly. I mean, it's mind-blowing how much they don't like themselves and how much they do themselves in. And you can't afford to do that. You're not a good football team. You can't afford to be your own worst enemy. And they took that to a special level this evening. And why they're leaving with a massively embarrassing loss. I thought it was a very extremely poorly coached game, personally. That's my opinion of it, watching it the first time out. Obviously, I'll go back and watch it multiple times. But there were a lot of things I did not like about the approach of the coaching on the evening. And then, obviously, the execution by the players was just poor.
Yeah, and the players spoke on that. You know, Mackenzie Milton was vocal after the game talking about some of the positions that they found themselves in, 1st and 20, 3rd and 15. Brendan, it felt like they were battling all night, you know, one step forward, two steps back. Did you get that sense tonight?
Yeah, definitely. And there was, you know, it wasn't like energy was the main issue or effort. It was just execution. And like Chris said, the coaching was, and it's the first time I've left of a game coached by Mike Norvell where I just thought they did not have a grasp of their personnel at all. You could mince decisions here and there in other games, and going back to last week, the Notre Dame game, but you know, to not have Jayshon Corbin running the ball late, to not having to prevent defense on the final play, the self-inflicted wounds, the penalties that Chris mentioned. I mean, we're talking about 5 or 6 drops in this game, just continually being in bad situations. There's just so much to go over where it was brutal. It was brutal all the way across the board for FSU.
It was.
I got to mention it. I hate the Wildcat. Can we just be done with it already? You have 2 quarterbacks capable of scrambling. Why are we getting cute with the Wildcat when you need to just go ahead and get the first down? Just work yourself north-south, get the first down. You're good enough at running the ball. It's just mind-blowing to me. Wildcat, to me, encapsulates just like overdoing it. There's times where it's simple works, and I don't get it. And that, I know that's a minor thing in comparison to the grand scope of all the issues they had. Mm-hmm. But man, it drives me bonkers. I don't like it. I didn't like it last week. I sure as heck didn't like it tonight.
Regardless if it's out of Wildcat, if it's out of a power eye, if it's out of a shotgun and a quarterback draw, it's 4th and 1. And you can't pick it up against Jacksonville State. There are issues that, you know, we're talking about the offensive line, but just trying to get the mindset of this team and figuring out how to play winning football. And you can't pick up 4th and 1 against an FCS team when you have to get it. I don't know, guys.
Yeah, and I think there's other missed opportunities as well to put this game away. There was dropped interceptions. There was, you know, some 3rd and longs where if they just force a punt, maybe the game's over if FSU can get a couple first downs. FSU threw for just 133 yards through the air. Milton makes his first start. he was the more efficient quarterback. He probably did deserve the start. But what did you think of Milton's performance tonight?
It's tough because a lot of the numbers aren't going to reflect the drops. And I mean, even that first drive, you have two drops, most notable the Keyshawn Helton drop that probably is a walk-in touchdown instead of ends the drive. But he didn't get a whole lot of help in terms of contested catches and whatnot from his guys tonight either. So, you know, McKenzie didn't play particularly sharp at times. He had an interception off the RPO where it just didn't look like he put the ball in the right place. But there's miscommunications throughout the night, Josh. Like, there was an example on that second drive when they got really cute with the Jordan Travis gadget stuff. The very first play of that, McKenzie Milton tries to throw a smoke screen, like an audible hot route kind of deal to Andrew Parchment based on what the defense did. And instead of just getting the ball to him on a safe play, that's basically an extended long handoff outside, and, you know, getting 5 or 6 yards on first down, it's an incomplete pass because Andrew Parchment ran forward instead of understanding what McKenzie wanted him to do and what the offense calls for. They don't have the personnel to consistently pass the ball, whether it's pass protection, there's receivers not catching the ball cleanly. They just don't have it.
Now, Mike Norvell, I want to interrupt you because I wrote this down. Can you guys help me out with this? Mike Norvell said in his post-game presser that he's going to reevaluate offensive personnel. What does that even mean?
A part of it is like,
do you think he's talking about the wide receivers?
I think he's talking about the wide receivers. Yes. I think less Andrew Parchment probably moving forward. Just watching the game, I know he put up some numbers, but he just doesn't do enough as a redshirt senior to keep playing him a ton. But also, they gave the ball to Lawrence Toe-Philly 10 times. He averaged 2.2 yards per carry, and I understand he's your most explosive player. But when you're trying to salt the clock, why not do Jayshon Corbin and Treshawn Ward when you know what you're consistently getting with those guys? Jayshon Corbin set up the game. He wasn't hurt. So I don't know if that's a personnel decision they're going to evaluate, whether they can go to Lawrence Toe-Philly a bunch of times. But I don't think that was something that – I hate second-guessing coaches because it's so easy to do. That seemed like just one personnel-wise, it didn't make a lot of sense. Like, why are you going to your explosive, quick running back instead of your powerful ones? Other than that, I don't know what the other personnel stuff you can really evaluate on offense is. I mean, your offensive line is what it is, Josh. Like, you have right. They say they have 7 or 8 guys, but that seems generous. Quarterback, you know who you have and what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are. I don't know what the other options are. Maybe tight end. I mean, wide receiver scores every time you give them the ball, you know?
That's all he does is catch touchdown passes.
That's all he does.
Chris, touchdowns. Chris, are you buying? Yes. Are you buying that it's just personnel?
No, I agree with Sinone about the running back rotation comments. That was foolish on the evening, in my opinion, to go away from Ward and Corbin, who had by far been the more effective backs on the evening. But they only have so much on offense. They're not magically going to play the free agency market right now and become a better offensive team.
Right.
They have shortcomings there. I mean, offensively, the penalties got to end. You can't keep putting yourself behind the chains. They can't live that life. They can't get away with it. So that's the first thing they got to figure out. The next thing is catch the damn ball. I mean, it's catching the ball. Well, I never was good at it in my life, God knows, but I feel like at the collegiate level, if you're a high-level receiver, catching the ball shouldn't be such a task. And for whatever reason, at FSU, in recent memory, it has been. That has happened. The offense here needs to be simple. Run the damn ball. It's what they're good at. Line up and run it. And it doesn't have to be cute. Doesn't have to be wildcat.
I was gonna ask you that.
Score enough times, use the clock, move the ball, give yourself better field position. Hope your defense can actually get off the field and not allow 3 drives of damn near 80 yards each. But just
– and be 50% on third down defense too, which was embarrassing. Like, you got to get off the field on third down defense. Yeah. Like, you just got to do it.
I mean, they've been – in his time here, they've been better with explosive plays than they were this evening. They were horrendous in that regard this evening. And some of that is Keyshawn Helton not catching that early ball, a couple other drops. But in general, the explosive plays were limited this evening. They got to be better in that regard. But, like, this offense doesn't need to look special and dynamic right now. I know you're trying to sell that recruit, so I understand that's a bit of a weighing act. Mm-hmm. But go out there and try to win football games. Win sells to recruits better than anything else, in my opinion. And well, right now they're in a dogfight to win six games this year.
Yeah. There's not, I don't know how much more we can say about a loss to Jacksonville State. It's embarrassing. However,
real quick, Josh, can I ask you, because your pulse, you have the finger on your pulse of recruiting. Yeah. Chris was talking about recruiting. We talked about the goodwill they built last week recruiting. I don't know if we want to be prisoners of the moment here, but how much does this loss serve as a setback for what they built up this offseason and even the opener against Notre Dame?
Oh, I think you start to see the full picture. I mean, you know, we saw a little bit in the opener against Notre Dame. We thought that this team maybe turned the corner. We felt good about it, actually. And I think, you know, one step forward, two steps back. We're so used to saying that with this program. And here we are. We thought we broke through. We didn't realize that we took one step forward last week and we were going to take two steps backward this week. Now this team has to move on to ACC play. They go on the road to Wake Forest next week. How does Mike Norvell, Brendan, how does Mike Norvell get this team focused and ready to go on the road to start ACC play?
I have no idea. I don't know. I think the saving grace, if you're going to try to find some glimmer of optimism, is that you recruited these grad transfers in here from winning programs like Mackenzie Milton, like Jermaine Johnson, who said all the right things after tonight's loss. And you hope that they can carry your culture and try to keep younger guys engaged and give you a shot. The other side of that coin is, like, there's a certain point where, like, you wonder if they don't have the same level of sweat equity at Florida State as, you know, if they were here for 3-4 years, whether that kind of runs out and runs dry in a little bit. I don't know the answer to that, Josh, but I think that's your hope. That's what you cling to, is that the veterans, the guys, even if they've been here for a short period of time, the guys who've been at winning programs can maybe keep you afloat and give you a puncher's chance on the road against Wake Forest. Otherwise, man, if you go 0-3, I don't know. It falls out quickly.
I think, Chris, you worry might. Well, I was just going to add to Sinone's point that I think you worry mightily about self-doubt creeping right back in after a loss like that, where you just, you know, the minute you get down, yeah, such a positive of a week ago was they get down 18 and they fight, they battle,
and they fight
there, they try, something we hadn't seen in recent years. But then you go and lay this egg, I mean, you start second-guessing yourself entirely, and it's not a program that can afford that. There's not enough guys that have that mental stability and fortitude built up that we can trust about that.
Right. I think there's a lot of guys on this team that kind of have the here we go again feeling rather than, you know, this is foreign to me. We're going to pick up the pieces this week on Noles 24/7. Obviously, there's going to be some fallout from this, whether it be recruiting, position changes, personnel changes. We're going to break it all down on Noles 24/7 this week. Fellas, any final thoughts or just things you want to get off your chest right now before we put this to bed?
It does kind of suck that you're basically, you lose two games by a combined 6 points, and just the outlook of the program and the feeling is just completely different than what it could be. But yeah, you know, that's where they are. It just feels, it's just so tough. It's like where the goodwill was even a week ago, it feels so far gone. And I don't know if you can get that back quickly or not, but it sucked. You're so close to breaking through, and now it feels difficult to find a path where you can do that, and you can sell the climb effectively, unless you just really turn things around and win a bunch of games in a row coming up here. So it gets more difficult after here, Josh. Jacksonville State is at the bottom of the barrel of what you're about to face.
Yeesh.
Yeah. 6-6 was going to be a difficult task before tonight was played, and now it feels like a almost insurmountable task. And
right.
I legitimately am concerned about the long-term prognosis of this program if they don't hit 6-6 this year and that recruiting class crumbles. I think it puts them in a real bad cycle program-wise of being sort of stuck at not being able to get out of a level of being bad / at best mediocre. And that's a major concern. I, you know, I obviously don't want to see Florida State become that permanent, but hell, they've been it for 3 years, well on their way to making it four. Some would argue maybe even five. It's just a big old worry. I mean, I watching that last play transpire, it was not a good feeling in any which way. It wasn't a good feeling in the immediate moment of, man, they just
felt like a bad dream. The guys watching him, I mean, it unfolded kind of slowly, you know, and it felt like the guys were running in quicksand and just you didn't wake up from this bad dream, though, unfortunately. So for Florida State, they go to 0-2. They lose on the final play of the game, 20-17. We'll be at Knowles 24/7 all week trying to make sense of this, helping you guys through it and into ACC play. Talk to you soon.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.